Let's open with hymn number 200.
Thank you.
of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank thee that of thine ineffable grace, for the sake of thy Son, thou hast given us the Holy Gospel, and hast instituted the Holy Sacraments, that through the same we may have comfort and forgiveness of sins. We beseech thee, grant us thy Holy Spirit, that we may heartily believe thy word, and through thy Holy Sacraments, day by day, establish our faith, until at last we obtain salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this morning is found in the 32nd chapter of Genesis, the 22nd through the 31st verse. And he rose up that night, and took his two wives, and his two women servants, and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast prevailed, thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun arose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 5th chapter of 1 John, the 4th through the 10th verse. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." Here ends the epistle. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it. Hallelujah. Chapter of John, the 19th through the 31st verse. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. And then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, ye might have life through his name. Here ends the gospel. Confess the Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
And I believe in the Holy Ghost,
the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing hymn number 195.
Jesus, Christ, our Lord, for honor of them, set us here.
grace be unto you, and peace in God our Father, and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the second chapter of Jonah, the 1st through the 10th verse. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou hearest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look upon again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Here ends our lesson. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are thy words. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. The Word of God bids us believe that Jesus, who was crucified and put to death, arose from his tomb on the third day. As proof, it offers unto us the eyewitness of the apostles as the only evidence that we need. In other words, the Lord bids us believe because he, in his Word, has said it. Aside from the Word of God, there are many other things we can point to in order to show that Jesus did rise, such as the record and logical conclusions of history, but God only offers us his word as proof, for it is the only thing that can absolutely prove any matter. And that is true, especially of our salvation in Jesus Christ. God's word and other evidence are never really at odds with one another, but God's word is certain, for everything else is open to human interpretation. In all evidence but Scripture, we must invoke our human reason, which can easily get out of control and seek to bend the word of God to its own notions and pride. Men hardly need an excuse to disregard the word of God. Thomas had seen Jesus face to face and believed on him. And yet he declared to his fellow apostles, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Many have wrongly accused Thomas of being a materialist, of not believing anything unless he had evidence to prove it. And whether that was true of Thomas, no one can tell. On the day when Thomas was told by 10 other apostles, we have seen the Lord, he was given all the evidence that he needed. You can hardly scoff at the fresh eyewitness of 10 men who were perfectly convicted that they had seen Jesus and spoken with him. Such testimony bears enough weight to prove almost any matter. They had truly seen the Lord. Men have won court cases with far less. It was not evidence that Thomas lacked, but faith. He did not believe the word of the Lord. You see, Peter and Thomas were by no means alone. In Mark 16:14, we hear, afterwards Jesus appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. You remember None of the disciples believed what Mary had told them. And they had no excuse. They had Jesus' own word, which had never proven false. They had the witness of the prophets. They had seen Jesus' miracles. But none of these things mattered, for in the end it was not evidence, but faith that they lacked. And so it is today. The resurrection of Jesus has withstood the test of time, being backed by enough empirical evidence to convince any jury that despite the seeming impossibility of it, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. But none of this matters to the world, for the heart of man is such that by nature it cannot believe the word of God, even when that word has been demonstrated. Is the external evidence which confirms the word of God then entirely unimportant? By no means. And Christians should know it well and be able and ready to convince those who speak against the testimony of Scripture. And the truth of the word of God and the truth that we know otherwise are never at odds. Truth is truth, and God has often worn down the stubborn resistance of the mind of man with evidence before converting him with the word. But nevertheless, it is often the case that the prevailing wisdom runs contrary to the word of God and contrary to the truth. And furthermore, there are many things which men may discover that at first seem to contradict God's word, but later prove to be false. Men will use any excuse to deny God's word. They will remember only what denies Scripture and ignore all that upholds it. And therefore, though evidence is certainly a tool which God uses to convince men, it is not enough. By itself, in fact, it is useless. Even when it is used to contradict the lies which men believe, it is only the Word of God that can convict the heart of sin and teach men of the salvation which is in Jesus Christ. Before us in our lesson is another story that causes men to scoff and respond with contempt and scorn. You see, they say, a man swallowed by a whale, composing a psalm. Rubbish. Never mind that such things as a man being swallowed by a large fish and surviving have actually happened in modern times and have been documented. The rules must be different when we consider the Word of God. Men cannot abide its truth, especially the truth which Jonah declares in this remarkable prayer. Nor can they tolerate the possibility that God would so arrange the history of Israel that over and over again Jesus Christ would be foreshadowed and typified. It angers them that Jesus could point to this story and declare, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Even that such stories would appear in the written record of Israel long before Christ was born, crucified, and had risen, that every major detail of his life, and especially of his death, would be described intimately centuries before he was born. Even this truth, which men cannot deny, offends them greatly. And once more, it is not evidence that they lack, but faith. It was such faith that Jonah himself lacked when he fled from the face of the Lord, who ordered him to preach repentance to the people of Nineveh. "Go," the Lord said, "and declare my judgment to them." But Jonah would not go. He did not believe that the people of Nineveh deserved to be pardoned. And why not? Because Jonah felt superior to them. And by denying them the opportunity to repent, he was as much as declaring that he, Jonah, was worthy of the Lord's mercy. A thing in itself impossible, or it would not be mercy. It was here that the faith of Jonah was shown to be deficient or lacking, for if he truly felt that he deserved mercy more than other men, then it was not mercy but payment that he sought from the Lord. And therefore the Lord had to show Jonah what he truly deserved. And so it was that by a storm and by a whale, God humbled Jonah until he cried out the words of our lesson. And as God did so often with the words which he inspired King David to write, so it is that these words which Jonah spake were a prophecy. His words were not merely his own lament, but they were the lament of our Savior. Even as we gain strength and comfort from the words which Jesus spake, so it was for all the saints of old. They had the Psalms in which they took comfort, the words of their coming Messiah. Though Jonah could indeed cry out that the Lord had brought him down low, it was only Jesus who could declare, "Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou hearest my voice." Note those words. Jonah speaks in the past tense while he was yet in the belly of the whale, of a deliverance which was already accomplished. He speaks of the belly of hell, the bottoms of the mountains, and the bars of the earth, which closed about him not for 3 days, but forever. Far worse are these things than the belly of a whale. The Lord had delivered Jonah from the belly of hell by bringing him low and by giving him cause to consider his sins. For had Jonah continued in unrepentance, it was surely hell for him. It was eternal damnation from which Jonah was saved by the Lord's chastening. But as a prophet, Jonah spake of Christ. How much more could our Lord Jesus declare these words in his glorious resurrection? He was there in the belly of hell, enduring their depth forever. It was in the midst of that affliction that he cried out unto the Lord, "I am cast out of thy sight." Hear once more the truth that Jesus was forsaken by the Father upon the cross, and into the grave he went, where a body would normally see corruption. As it returned to dust, not so with the body of our Lord. "I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God." Even so David in prophecy declared, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." These are no doubting words. These are not the words of a man who counts his sins as a trifling matter. It was his own sins that brought upon the Lord the affliction which Jonah here declares. And with these words he puts his trust in the Lord, who would bear his iniquity in hell, but be raised again and walk in the land of the living, bringing his prayer before the Lord forevermore, pleading his own death for the sins of the world. What evidence did Jonah have when he made this confession that the Lord would so deliver him? Only the word of the Lord, which had made the same promise to his fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. What evidence did Jesus himself have that the Father would hear him when he cried out upon the cross? Only that the word of God cannot be broken. Our Lord Jesus was not faithless concerning his own resurrection, but believing. Even when he was enduring the torments of hell upon the cross, even when all evidence declared that he was lost, even when the Father had forsaken him. His faith endured, and it was fulfilled on the first day of the week, early in the morning when our Savior arose triumphant from the grave. So too, dear Christian, should you wait on the salvation of our Lord, who will surely deliver you from every distress, even as he delivered Jonah and his own dear son. Salvation is of the Lord, Jonah declared, so that every generation, even the Gentiles to whom he preached, would seek it in no other place. How great indeed is the salvation of our God, who has given us the promise of everlasting life. Our sojourn in the grave will surely be longer than 3 days, yet they will seem to us to be but a fleeting moment. For when we rest in our tombs, we will not be in hell, but in paradise, in the presence of our risen Lord, in that timeless land which knows no grief or pain. For in the presence of the Lord all grief must flee. And then, as God is true, we shall arise and walk once more in the land of the living. and see with the eyes of our flesh that Lord whom we now know by faith. May God so give us the glorious comfort of his Son, that doubt might be ever driven from our hearts and be replaced with the contented assurance that our Jesus liveth still. Therefore shall we also hope upon the Lord and look forward to standing before him in his holy temple and sacrificing unto him with the voice of thanksgiving. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, receive, we beseech thee, these gifts which we offer in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O God of all grace, mercy, and peace, who by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead didst declare him to be thy Son and our Savior, and who by the faithful testimony of the apostles hast given us assurance that our faith stands upon a most true and true record, grant us thy Spirit that our hearts may rest in thy truth. We thank thee for the gift of eternal life in thy Son. Preserve and defend us from all error, doubt, and unbelief, that we may hold fast to the profession of our faith. Save us from vain philosophies and worldly wisdom, and establish us in the truth of thy word. We lift up our hearts to thee in thanksgiving for thy word. Illumine us by its heavenly light, and instruct us by its saving truth, that we might bring forth the fruits of righteousness. Help us therein to find Jesus, our risen Lord. Lead us to rejoice in him and grant that we may receive the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. Breathe upon thy church, that it may faithfully preach thy word, and proclaim the gospel of our risen Savior with courage and diligence in all lands and to all people. Enrich the schools of our churches, that they may bring forth youth who walk in true faith and obedience to thy holy will. Hearken unto the inner yearnings of our heart, which seek thy help and favor, and give us the assurance of thy mercy. And as we each must bear the cross, assure us that thou wilt not permit us to be tried above that we are able, but wilt strengthen us therein through the grace of Jesus Christ. Forgive now the sins of thy people, strengthen the doubting and the faithless, bring back the forgetful and the wayward, and comfort the anxious and the distressed. And as we go from this hallowed place this day, grant unto us all thy peace. All this we pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. We sing hymn number 196. Thank you. give thanks unto the name of the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God. But chiefly are we bound to praise thee for the glorious resurrection of thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the very Paschal Lamb which was offered for us, and hath taken away the sins of the world, who by his death hath destroyed death, and by his rising to life again hath restored to us everlasting life. Therefore with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee, and saying, Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Savior Jesus Christ. given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Sing the Nuptimus. Son into the flesh. We thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Sing hymn number 204.
Thank you.
Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.